You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. It's titled, The Key to a Happy Marriage. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
More than ever before, Americans are now looking out for number one. So says the New York Times Magazine in its November 17, 1999 issue. We bemoan daily about all the self-centeredness that we see around us. We regret that family ties are weakening. We complain endlessly that we can't trust most people. At the same time, however, each one of us lives with a host of selfish habits and self-centered attitudes. Now, we don't like it when others are self-centered, but when we operate with a selfish lifestyle, well, that's okay. And why is this selfishness such a driving force in our society today? The Times Magazine further explains that middle-class affluence has created a situation where it is no longer necessary for us to rely upon each other. We don't need each other anymore. Consequently, many people today live alone and go it alone, as we say. And, of course, we have learned how to cleverly cover up these sinful attitudes. We do this when we call selfishness by other, more sophisticated terms, such as expressive individualism, or emotional gratification, or getting in touch with your feelings, or some other fancy term. Now, remember how the recent New York Times Magazine said that we all blame everybody else about selfishness? But when it comes to ourselves, well, selfishness, this is not something we are guilty of. But let's take a moment, shall we, and take an honest look at life just a little bit. When you have a family where everyone has to have a job so that every person can buy not what they actually need, but what they want or would like to have, this is sinful, anti-God, selfish living. Or when we go ahead and make plans to spend time with friends or attend movies or go to sports events without first talking with other family members to see what their needs are, this is also sinful selfishness. When we make out our budget and when we do not include donations to charity and to home and foreign mission work, this is also sinful selfishness. Not only has our sin of doing our own thing ripped apart family friendships and other relationships, but this selfish and self-centered lifestyle also separates you and me from our Lord. You simply cannot live a self-centered and self-serving life and still expect God to bless you. Selfishness is a sin, and sin leads to consequences, and the consequences are frequently destroyed relationships, where husbands don't talk to wives, wives avoid sharing information with husbands, children and teenagers live in the same house with their parents, but no longer experience loving relationships with their father or mother. And so then, in the past two decades, the dilemma in thousands of United States and Canadian homes has been, what does a person do to rectify this? And how does one resolve strained family relationships? How do you resolve the alienation that inevitably follows self-centered lifestyles? Well, nowadays, one word we hear quite often is reconciliation. A third party, increasingly professional counselors, are employed or hired to sit down with family members and try to reconcile or to iron out differences. Now, there is nothing whatsoever wrong with seeking secular professional counseling. However, if you are one of those who would like to first see what God says about this, then let me suggest that you focus for a moment on the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 4, we read, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another," the Bible says, "tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God, in Jesus Christ, has also forgiven you." Now, what God is saying to you is simply this. If you sincerely desire resolution and reconciliation in your marriage, or in your family, or with someone where you work, then you need to break the ice by forgiving the other person, just as God, in Jesus Christ, has forgiven you. Oh yes, reconciliation is possible, but only when we receive the power to forgive, which comes from God through Jesus Christ. Now, in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read that God has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. Notice one thing here, and notice it very carefully. With a human reconciler, disputing parties sit down to talk things over. But when God, the Bible says, reconciled us to Himself in His grace and mercy, He used a much different approach. Listen now to how St. Paul describes God's approach to reconciliation. It was, the Bible says, our Heavenly Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Jesus Christ and, through Jesus, to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross on which Jesus died. Now, illogical as it may seem, when Jesus shed His innocent blood on the cross, this appeased, yes, it satisfied, yes, it removed the anger that God has had toward you because of your sin. Now, let me try to explain a bit more clearly what happened when Jesus died on the cross. You see, when children are disobedient, their wrong actions anger their parents. And until discipline takes place, there is tension and animosity between parents and children. However, after the discipline takes place and the price of disobedience has been paid, then there is also reconciliation. Now, in a similar way, when you and I sin against God, our actions anger our loving Lord, and there is no resolution or reconciliation until discipline occurs. And this is precisely what happened when Jesus died on the cross. It was the will of God to discipline His Son on the cross so that you would not have to suffer and die for your sins. Jesus Christ suffered and died in your place. Jesus is your substitute. Jesus took the hellish discipline you deserve. St. Paul writes, "God made Him, yes, God made Jesus who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ." Isaiah the prophet writes that when God the Father saw the suffering of His Son Jesus, His anger was appeased, His wrath was satisfied. When Jesus went to the cross, your Heavenly Father laid your sins on Jesus and declared Jesus a sinner in your place. And now when God creates in you a saving faith, He also graciously declares you righteous in His sight. This is how God reconciles you to Himself. And this is also why you and your family need to go to church every Sunday. You see, not only do you need to hear the good news that in Jesus Christ, God has reconciled you to Himself, but the very words of this reconciliation message, these dynamic spiritual words, have the life-giving power to strengthen your faith and give you a hope that is eternal. The Bible says the Word of God is living and active. And when this Word comes into your ears, this is like a life-giving blood transfusion. God's Word cleanses you from sin. God's Word creates faith in your heart. God's Word nourishes this same faith within you. And God's Word then also enables you to forgive other members of your family. This is what St. Paul was speaking about when he wrote that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, and He has now committed unto us that same word of reconciliation. In this way, by the mercy of God, you and your spouse or members of your family can be friends again. First in Jesus, you have been reconciled to God, and now God is offering you the power to be reconciled with those around you. And so then, my friend, if you have any ill feelings whatsoever toward your spouse or your children or your parents or with people where you work or where you go to school, don't delay. With God's help, begin reconciliation today. Just as God in Jesus Christ has reconciled you to Himself, so also go now to those with whom you've had a disagreement or a grudge and be reconciled. Tell this person the good news that God in Jesus Christ has forgiven him also. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, has the power to wipe away all the bad blood, as we often say. Oh yes, my friend, your sins have greatly angered and offended God. Nevertheless, in His mercy, your Heavenly Father has accepted the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a full payment for all of your sins. The Apostle Paul writes about this great joy in Jesus when he says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more then, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." O Lord, we pray today for all our listeners, acknowledging a selfish lifestyle and confessing our sin of self-centeredness is hard for all of us. Gracious Heavenly Father, enable all who have heard Your word today. Empower them to take that first step. Prompt them, O Lord, to go to those with whom they've had disagreements or a grudge, and then flood their heart with Your forgiveness so that Your forgiveness in Jesus Christ can flow in them and through them and bring the gospel joy of reconciliation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.